Cornflower and Mrs. Church Mouse stood on the south ramparts, keeping tight hold of Baby Rollo as he waved and shouted. The bells pealed merrily, while the sparrow folk of Queen Warbeak flew south across the woodlands in the cloudless blue morning. Constance and the Abbot cheered as lustily as any at the brave sight. The sparrow queen circled the abbey once, then dipping her wings, she dropped like a stone, taking up a zinging flight as she brushed by the creatures on the battlements.
"We find 'em! You see! We find 'em!"
she called. Warbeak flew high, shooting like a speeding arrow into the vanguard of the feathered squadron. Soon they became dark specks, which rapidly disappeared into the distance over Mossflower. John Church Mouse flexed both his paws and massaged the back of his neck wearily as he descended the wall steps with Brother Sedge.
"Phew! Well, thank goodness that's over. Maybe we can catch up on a little sleep now, eh, Sedge?"
Brother Sedge grubbed charcoal-stained paws into his red-rimmed eyes.
"Aye, it's straight up to the dormitory for me, John. It certainly takes it out of you, sitting up all night drawing maps and writing poems. I just hope that one of those birds finds Matthias and the others. I'd hate to think that we worked in vain."
John stretched wearily.
"Well, there's at least 12 copies, and they're all carried by trusty sparrow scouts. If they can't find them, no beast can. I wonder what's for breakfast."
"Breakfast indeed, John Church Mouse."
Mrs. Church Mouse tuttered early as she passed by.
"You've done nothing but eat all night. Still, I suppose you could find room for some nut bread, blackcurrant cordial, and elderberry pancakes before you sleep the day away."
John leaned wearily against the abbey wall.
"Suppose so, dear. I'll be in soon. I'll tell that baby Rollo to save a pancake or two for me. Basil certainly taught him how to deal with the rations, the little nosebag."
He wiped his grimy paws on his habit and blinked owlishly.
"It's funny. I could swear I saw a magpie above the west wall just then. Did you see anything, Sedge?"
Brother Sedge stifled a yawn.
"Oh, come on, John, let's get breakfast. You're seeing things. There hasn't been a magpie ever recorded in this neck of the woods."
The morning wore on with the gentle pace of Red Wall life. Three magpies winged their way low and slow to the maple at the north fringe. That same morning saw Matthias and his friends marching shoulder to shoulder with Logalog and the Shrew army, south through the trees upon the trail of Slagar. Orlando stopped in a clearing and pointed ahead with his axe.
"Is that a cloud bank on the horizon, or some sort of land rise?"
They halted and gazed in the direction he was pointing. Matthias shook his head.
"Could be anything. What do you think, Logalog?"
The Shrew leader shaded his eyes.
"That must be the great south cliffs. I've heard of them, but the Gowsum have never wandered that far south before. Well, let's press on and see for ourselves. I reckon we should make them by late evening if we march at the double."
A short meal break was taken for Shrew oatcakes and water. Keeping the cliffs ahead as a bearing, the searchers set out at a fast double paw step. Slagar had split his band in two, half in front and half behind the slave line, as they began the ascent of the rope ladders hanging down from the top of the plateau. The masked fox snapped out instructions.
"Listen, you lot. Keep your paws tight on those rungs. Don't look up or down. It's a good drop, even from halfway up these ladders. You wouldn't live through it. So if you want to reach the top in one piece, then keep your wits about you. Three Claws, you go first to show 'em. When you reach the top, make sure the prisoners are well staked down until I get there. Stoneflex waiting up there. Do as he says. Right, get going."
Matameo climbed stolidly, trying hard to keep some slack in the running line to make it easier for Tess and Cynthia, who were on the rungs below him.